You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
This morning we are speaking with Dato' Ahmad Zaini, the Managing Director of Malaysia Building Society Berhad. Dato', welcome back to BFM. It's been over 2 years since we last spoke. Before we start on, ask you for your for explanation of your transformation plan, of which you've been obviously very successful, just give a quick and dirty explanation of how MBSB operates and how it's able to behave like a bank without being a bank.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be back here. MBSB is governed under the Schedule Act. We're governed under the Ministry of Finance in terms of legislation. Yes, we behave like a bank. We are not under BAFIA. Incorporated in 1950 itself, so it's a 60-year-old entity. So that's how MBSB has been, set up. And all these years has been a major mortgage provider. But over the last 2.5 years, we put on more new products in terms of product offerings to the public.
Yeah, last we spoke in February of 2009, Dato', you're talking about how you transform yourself from being primarily a mortgage provider, a mortgage finance provider, to becoming a wider provider of financial services. And you've done quite well. Have you won several awards recently? Do explain your business, the ambit of your efforts to expand the business.
Yes, we embark on what we call the Taking MBSB to the Next Level program. It's a 5-year plan, really, to transform MBSB from a mono product line kind of business entity to multi products. And we've done that quite successfully in terms of the operations, streamlining the operations, and putting in more new products and services. And we've been very successful in terms of our personal financing. Also, we've transformed our mortgage products from a lower end to higher end and put in more new products in terms of our corporate business, contract financings and the private finance initiatives. These are the new things that we are doing. And this year, we intend to also transform and put in things like credit card as well as the high purchase products.
Okay, a lot of the magic that's been happening in MBSB the last 2 years has really been in Islamic personal loans, of which you've had a stupendous growth, I guess you can call it that. And this is something under the National Co-op Movement of Malaysia, or the Angkasa scheme, where you cater exclusively to the civil servants, to government servants, and you deduct salaries at source, in terms of servicing the loans. Talk a little bit about the size of the business and how fast it's been growing, Dato.
Well, when we first started the personal financing, in 2008, just to give you some perspective, we were only doing about 15 to 18 million a month. 2009 onwards and up to now, we're doing easily about half a billion per month in terms of disbursement. So the business is big, but what was the catalyst to it all was the fact that we've changed the business model in terms of the execution of it. We've added in things like, sales through agents and a variation of these products for the civil servants.
Okay, so it's gone from 1% that we read here of your entire loan base in 6 years ago to essentially 28% last year. Now that's quite amazing. Are we reaching a point where growth is going to start tapering off, Dato', or do you think it's still going to enjoy the kind of growth you've been enjoying until now?
Yeah, I think the momentum is going to be there still, because 70% of the business actually are from the refinancing itself. So we're only scratching the surface as far as MBSB is concerned. Our market share is still small. There's 1.2 million civil servants out there. And we believe the momentum is going to be there, the growth rate is going to be there, and the dynamism and the enthusiasm of the market is still going to be there.
Okay, where you're the arena in which you're playing, the Angkasa scheme, what is your market share there, and what is the strategy for perhaps taking share from other rivals and addressing new markets?
I think our market share is easily still about 10%. Still small.
Okay, because there's Bank Rakyat, there's Agro Bank, yeah.
There's BSN and a few other koperasi. Yeah, our strategy is very simple. We provide affordable financing to the civil servant at affordable rates, and the ability to have a speedy turnaround time when we disperse the loans.
Okay, the analysts at OSK reckon there's another 50-odd billion ringgit worth of personal loans to be given out, obviously, which makes it quite a large, potentially addressable market still to go. Is this a ballpark figure that you're comfortable with, or do you think there could be more or even less than this?
I think 50 billion is about right. But then again, as I said, a lot of these are coming from the refinancing market itself. So the rollover effect of it is there in that sense. But I think as the civil servant's salary increases over a period of time, there will be more demand for such loans. Yeah? So I think the 50 billion level is about right, really.
Okay. And that's the thing. So the last salary increase was 3-4 years ago, government servants. Mm-hmm. Do you expect such a thing to, another increase for government servants to occur in the foreseeable future?
I think the salary adjustments and all this, will happen eventually because of our cost of living right now is way high. If you look at the level of income of not only civil servants, of the country itself, it has not grown much. So that is a policy issue. That's something that the government has to basically address.
Okay, let's deal with that those potential upsides in just a couple of minutes. Staying on the product itself, how do you qualify for a Angkasa personal loan?
Yeah, the government servant must first of all have a minimum salary about 2,000 ringgit, and have the deduction available for deduction up to 60%. We're able to do that. And of course, they must not be blacklisted, and those kind of things.
Okay, so what's your margin if you earn 2,000 ringgit? How much more? How much can you borrow?
Depending really on the disposable income, you could easily go up to 50,000.
So if you earn 2,000 ringgit a month, which is 24,000 a year, you can borrow 50,000.
Yeah, thereabouts.
Repayable over what, 15, 20 years?
15, 20 years, depending on the age group.
Okay.
But that's the structure of the loan. But behaviorally, in terms of behavior, it's about 7 or 6 years.
And what kind of rates do they pay?
On average, about 5.2 or 5%.
Okay, so that's obviously a lot cheaper than the 18% they pay in conventional. Yeah, but definitely. In your assessment of qualifying candidates, do you take note or do you assess the kind of the other loans which civil servants might take from other Angkasa offerers or from the conventional banking side?
No, once they come in to borrow from MBSB through the Angkasa scheme, essentially, if they've got any other Angkasa loans elsewhere, we would refinance them. That's number one. Number two, seriously, the whole deduction comes at source. So we do not really pay too much attention in terms of their other indebtedness. Because we are deducting at source.
And basically you are risk free, right? All offerers of Angkasa schemes are risk free because you deduct at source.
That's right.
But that's the problem. So is it a case where conventional banks might suffer from being over leveraged if they take on too much debt and they can't service it because obviously, you don't you don't care as well because you are risk free on the other side.
Yeah, the conventional banks outside the scheme of Angkasa would have to assess and evaluate a person's own credit worthiness using their own methodology. But this would only relate to civil servants. If the civil servant goes out there and get a conventional credit card, for instance, and the bank itself must be able to evaluate and see what kind of deductions he's already been having.
So, Dato, you've been on the both sides. You now are with MBSB, which is obviously a government entity, and you've also worked for the conventional banks at Arab Malaysian.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as you know, when conventional banks do their assessment of qualifying criteria, do they take note of you know, whether they are encumbered with Ankasa schemes as well?
Yeah, for civil servants, they do.
They do. They take
a net disposable income, and Ankasa's deduction would be part of it.
We are talking to Dato' Ahmad Zaini, the Managing Director of Malaysia Building Society Berhad. We are discussing the big issue of personal loans, and of course the bigger macro issue, Dato', is the mounting concern of household debt and whether or not this is actually a time bomb waiting to happen.
Break from midfield. BFM 89.9.
We have with us today Dato' Ahmad Zaini, the Managing Director of Malaysia Building Society Berhad. Now, Dato', on the back of what we just discussed, we have, you know, in our data that bankruptcy among civil servants increased by a quantum of about 180% last year, albeit from a very low base. Yeah, are you concerned, or rather, from a regulatory standpoint, do you think that the central bank is concerned that that you know civil servants are perhaps over leveraged?
I think central banks would be concerned, but I don't think they are just focusing on civil servants. It's to the general public as well. And I think they are already coming up with some policies in terms of your third housing loans and those kind of things. Perhaps what is needed is a broad policy in terms of the qualifying criteria for certain types of facilities. But I think just to zero in on civil servant itself, I don't think it's really fair, because as far as we are concerned, under the Ankasa scheme, the NPL level is extremely low at this point in time.
Well, it can't be high because obviously it's risk-free, it's deducted
right.
at source.
That's right.
There's a few, I guess, moot points here, Dato. The thing is, conventional banks have had the luxury of offering personal loans and products of that kind for many, many years, and obviously their interest rates a quantum of three, even four times as high
right.
as those that you offer. So they've been enjoying these super profits for a long time.
Right.
The other point, of course, is that you are not regulated by the central bank. You are under the finance ministry. Yeah?
So
how does all this play out in terms of from a top-down policy perspective as to you know controlling household debt?
Yeah, this is it. You know, when we came into the market in 2009, our main objective was to provide affordable financing at affordable rates to the government servants. You're right. I mean, the banks were really doing this personal financing well before 2009 at much, much higher rates. So in that sense, I think we are lowering the cost, and hence there are more, disposable income for the civil servants.
So who's accountable, if household debt gets to points where it gets to the breaking point where people are not able to service their debts anymore, whether it's because or in spite of the Ankasa scheme?
Well, I think at the end of the day, it would still be the person himself or herself, that would be accountable in terms of how you manage your own personal finances. That's how I look at it.
So who regulates MBSB and the other Ankasa providers?
We are being regulated through the MOF, the guidelines, and also the legislations in terms of the Public Companies Act. Ankasa and all this are being regulated through the, the SKM, Koperasi Malaysia. But in terms of operating conditions and procedures and guidelines, we do follow the spirit of central bank, and we adhere to a lot of the best practices under the BNM.
Okay. Now, behaviorally, you touched on this earlier, Dato, that you know perhaps each client or each customer would settle or refi within 7 to 8 years, even though they can pay over 15 to 20 years. Why does this happen? What drives it?
I think it boils back to the fact that, you know, there is a necessity here. There's a need for them to have this facility. And the fact here is goes back to the level of income again. Yeah. So it all boils back to necessity. They utilize this facility really not to buy another television set or furniture or something like that, but more for things like education, healthcare, and so on. So I think there is indeed a need, really, when the civil servant borrows this facility.
So given the turbulent times that we live in, Dato, I mean, things are very uncertain now, as we can see. And Bank Negara themselves have said that households are being more at risk of being over indebted. You know, there's, for want of a better word, there's been a reliance on incomplete computations of debt servicing ratios because there are two sides of the coin and they don't really talk to each other sometimes because they operate under different regulators, as you say. Is there a possibility one day, Dato, in time to come when civil servants might have to choose one scheme over another to prevent over leverage among households, among civil servant households?
Yeah, I think if you look at it that way, I think it would be wise for the authorities to maintain the scheme under the Bureau because it's the cheapest rates in town. I mean, if you have to compare with two or three, borrowing facilities out there, commercial rates on the conventional banks.
What is the possibility of that happening?
I don't think the government is going to do a really micromanaging to this level, you know, to basically stop personal financing per se. It doesn't make sense, seriously, because, you know, these are facilities that the government servants are enjoying at a very cheap rate, and, you know, to stop that kind of facilities, you know, and it's just like tantamounting to telling the civil servant, you know, you can go ahead and borrow those expensive ones, but not the cheap ones. I don't think it will happen.
So you're damned if you overregulate, and you're damned if you don't overregulate.
Yes, that's right.
It's going to be interesting how it all pans out. In terms of, I guess one of the reasons, not the main reason, why civil servants borrow as much as they do is because of their pay schemes, yeah?
That's right.
The highest, I think the premium grade is only 6,000, say 7,000 ringgit a month, which is not high, yeah?
Right.
Which is not high. The last pay hike for civil servants was in 2007, yeah?
That's right.
Yep. In your opinion, and of course in your dealings with the government, and when do you think the next pay hike will happen in terms of, you know, being a potential catalyst to your business?
I don't know. I mean, it all depends. I think the government's always continuously reviewing that. But even at the at our GLC meetings that we have at the ministry, I mean, they always talk about, you know, to pay the staff of, you know, those in the GLCs and the government at rates that is acceptable to the market. I think we're already seeing that, and perhaps the government will review this from time to time. All depends on the government policy, really.
Today we're talking to Dato' Ahmad Zaini, the Managing Director of Malaysia Building Society, Berhad. Dato', in terms of the government, you know, potentially raising salaries for civil servants, there are 1.3 million civil servants out there, probably one of the highest ratios to the general population around the world than any other. But that's the thing. The Malaysian government is laboring under a multi-year fiscal deficit, yeah? Over 5% of GDP, 20-plus year high. Can the government afford to raise salaries for government servants?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about going back to the efficiency of it. You know, increased salary per se without productivity, I don't think it'll work. So I think it has to be coupled with, you know, increased productivity. And I think there are many policies and strategies that the government's trying to put in place to increase productivity. Once you've got that, I think to increase salary would really not be much of an issue.
Okay, let's move the discussion along to your other businesses, property loans, yeah?
Mm.
And you're starting to target the higher end, yeah? Half a million bucks and above. Do spend some time on that.
Yeah, this is the mortgage product. We call it the MBSB Ultimate Program. It caters for those customers wanting a 500,000 ringgit more of a housing facility. We are targeting this, but this product itself is being so-called cross-sell with other types of facilities, you know, and it's on special rates basis, and it's tailor-made to the individual requirements.
Okay, so is it confined to civil servants, or can anyone?
No, this is open to public.
Okay, so do spend some time on you know, what kind of interest rates you charge, what kind of products you also bundle in.
Yeah, I mean, there are fixed and variable rates. to begin with.
What are the fixed rates?
The fixed rate, about 7%. These are fixed rate in nature.
Up till
20
seven.
Years, yep. You know, 30 years kind of a facility. But there are also variable rates. Variable, we can go as minus one against our...
against BLR, yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And we also... give away special preferred rates for deposits, special schemes of protection, insurance protection, and also add on some educational loans or any other type of facilities and top up with against the facility base. So, for instance, you know, you borrow 500,000, you know, you could be eligible up to 100,000 of additional line. Yeah.
Okay, for assorted uses, yeah?
That's right.
Okay, so when net interest margins are concerned, which one is more profitable, the personal loan side or the property loan side?
The personal financing, of course.
Okay,
yes,
and that continues to be the biggest margin earner for
that's
you guys.
Right. Yes.
Despite the fact that you charge between 5 and 6%?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
5.2, yes.
So what's your outlook for competing this business for increasing your market share, you know, say in personal finance? From the 10-odd% now that you have, you know, are you looking to lower this interest rate for?
No, we will look and observe the scenario of interest rates. We are already second to Bank Raya, and we are really giving them run for the money in terms of this business. We're doing a lot of refinancing of the other banks, and a lot of the customers are coming back to us. And the strategy will remain focused. And we'll persevere to look into, you know, to capture a bigger chunk of this market in the near future.
Okay. You also touched on credit cards, right?
Yes.
And there's also some reports on potentially going to into stockbroking.
Stockbroking. I don't know. The stockbroking thing is not really something that... I don't know how the news was picked up, but really we're not into this line of business as yet.
Okay.
But the credit card is... this is something that we want to do. And again, we're going on a strategy that this would be the cheapest card in town. When banks are charging about 18%, we're looking at, you know, doing it at 14%. And it's going to be tailor-made to civil servants.
Only civil servants?
Yes. This is a specially dedicated program for the civil servants. And we're very excited about, you know, about the prospects of it.
Of course, you're delivering the statement with a smile, Dato. And that's the thing. So, in going back to what we discussed and this, you know, this fragility of the economy, both here as well as overseas, do you worry sometimes that perhaps with the economy going, you know, going soft, cooling down, that perhaps, household debt and basically the potential of your products might suffer in the next 2 or 3 years as opposed to the very stellar past 2 or 3 years that you've enjoyed?
No, actually, at the end of the day, we are basically a local entity, and our customers are basically locals in that sense. We are quite insulated from that perspective, you know. We're not like the multinational banks, you know, where we are exposed to foreign exposures in terms of loans and this kind of thing. So I'm not too worried, really. I think managing debt at this level is still manageable. And I think the central bank is doing a good job in trying to put in certain policies and certain parameters, you know, to manage the household debt of the country.
Last question, Dato, and this is a question that I asked you as well more than 2 years ago. You are 66% owned by the EPF, who in turn control RHB Bank, yeah?
Right.
And of course, which has had a failed merger attempt from both CIMB and Maybank. Are there renewed efforts, perhaps, options on the table to bring these two banking type businesses together?
Well, it all depends on the shareholders. It would make a bit of sense to have some form of a strategic alliance, perhaps, or some kind of a merger. But at this stage, I'm not aware of any such development.
How might it look? Because obviously, you operate under different schemes and are regulated by different, you know, by different entities. How might it best work out?
Well, in theory, we could still be an entity that provides a specialization for the government servants. And in theory, the RHB Group could be the provider for facilities to the general public.
Under the same umbrella.
So, I mean, how it works out, whether it's share swapped or anything like that, that's something the, you know, is for the wisdom of the shareholders to decide.
Absolutely. Well, we do wish you the best of luck in your, you know, your ongoing transformation efforts and to diversify into new businesses, whether it's credit cards or high-end property loans. Thank you for your time and thank you for your thoughts, Dato.
Thank you very much.
That was Dato' Ahmad Zaini, the Managing Director of Malaysia Building Society Berhad. I am Khoo Su Chuang, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.